This is Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
We are back. We're with you till 12 noon. We're joined on the phone right now from Dallas, Mike Barrett, the TV voice of your Portland Trailblazers. You can listen to him every game in the playoffs on KGW Channel 8. MB, how are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Good. Tough loss last night. You know, what do the Blazers need to do between last night and game two to get back on the winning track? What are the two to three things that you think Nate McMillan really needs to focus in on?
Well, you know, we were talking about that here this morning. You know, we've been living this thing since it happened last night. And I just think that the tough part of it is you look at there's obviously key places you needed to be better. But, you know, I don't know if, it, you know, going to practice and they're at practice now, the various things that you work on, you know, nobody expects Jason Kidd to shoot like he did from three. They had the Mavs, you know, shooting a percentage that they wanted them to shoot. Portland this season, like 33-4, went out shooting their opponent, and they outshot the Mavs decidedly. And so, you know, you go back and forth between was it a wasted effort in that you had things go your way and it still didn't happen for you? Was it a fluke that Kidd shot the way he did? Your defense on Nowitzki was pretty darn good until late. I mean, he's going to do that, but still he shoots below his average in that ball game. You got the big numbers out of LaMarcus. You know, there's obviously late. There's going to be some talk about the rotation late with having Canby out of the game when he had the 18 rebounds. And you know, but that's the lineup that's been finishing games. I didn't see a lot different from what Portland did as compared to what they've been doing that has been successful for them. I just think it's a matter of, you know, it came down to a few possessions late, and there was a big turnover when Portland had the 6-point lead, which would have made it an 8-point lead, and after that, the Mavs go on the 23-9 run. So I don't know. I don't see a lot of wholesale changes that have to happen here. I liked their game plan. I liked where they had the game late. Just a matter of finishing off in a couple of big possessions, and that's the playoffs.
Mike, Tyson Chandler's really added an element of toughness and defense in the low post to the Mavericks that they haven't had in the past. And, you know, I thought he had some really nice help, weak side help last night on several plays. How do you think he's going to impact the series?
Well, you know, I think that he's good for them, and he gives them a shot-blocking presence. But, you know, LaMarcus has had big, big games against Dallas this year, all five meetings. You know, one of them Chandler didn't play in, but now, L.A. had his 35-point game at Dallas. That was right against Chandler. And you saw the five alley-oops to Portland, and you know, I think four of those came when Chandler went to help out and tried to front LaMarcus. And, you know, I think teams realized that's not going to work. So he was a factor, but I don't think he was the deciding factor for the Mavs last night by any means. He does help, and when they go to Brendan Haywood off the bench, Haywood's good as a backup. He's a little different than Chandler is. He gives them length and everything. He doesn't give as much as Chandler. But, again, I don't think that's the area that is a huge cause for concern if you're Portland at this point. Aldridge is going to get his numbers in the series. We saw that once again last night. It's just it's a matter of getting out to the three-point line, covering those guys. And for Portland, they've got to get to the free-throw line, which they didn't do last night, only 13 attempts. And they've got to hit a few threes. I mean, 2 of 16 from beyond the three-point line is not going to get it done.
Gerald Wallace, 4 of 13 from the field last night, just never really looked like he got into a groove. I would expect he's going to be a different player in game two. So, you know, you said you just named all the things the Blazers did right. If you can add him, and we just had Wheels on who told us that in the game after a single-digit game, Wesley Matthews averages 23 points a game, so you expect him to bounce back. Those are two really good components if you're the Blazers going into game two.
Yeah, and, you know, on Wesley's, it wasn't because he wasn't being aggressive. It was simply because he picked up two quick fouls. So many times in the NBA, we see when a guy gets two early fouls, it is very difficult to get back into the ball game. And for Wesley, that was the case. The two quick fouls, he came out of the game, and he was just kind of out of it the rest of the way. For Gerald, I think the biggest error he makes at times is he defers, and defers maybe too much to his teammates, and he doesn't want to step on toes. He doesn't want to get in the way. And, you know, it wasn't until that third quarter run that he really came alive. But, yeah, they're going to have to get him involved in the game. You know, and I even think with that lineup, I think against Dallas, we've all talked about tempo being such a key and slowing it down a little bit against Dallas. But I think with Wallace in that lineup and you bring Batum in off the bench, you know, if you can get out and run them a little bit, I think that's a huge factor for Portland. And I think there are some opportunities to get some easier buckets in the fast break and the transition. That's when Portland made their run, when Wallace started to play the defense necessary to get out and push a little bit. So I would be a bit surprised to see Portland try to up the tempo a little bit in game two. And, you know, I don't think they have to make major changes. You know, a lot of the fans are pointing at, you know, saying, why was Brandon in there so much in the second half? Why did Camby not play at all? Obviously, the coaching staff will look at that. But you fell victim to some hot shooting from Jason Kidd from beyond the three-point line. That's not something you're going to see again, I wouldn't think. That's something you don't plan on for Dallas. Other than that, I don't know. I think they played him pretty well. They had themselves right in that ball game. There were some tough calls late in that game. I know a lot of the fans are looking at the officiating in that game, and we don't harp on it a lot on our broadcast. At least we try not to. I did think that it was pretty one-sided. The touch fouls late, especially the couple on Wallace down low on Nowitzki. We showed the replay. There just wasn't any contact there. And that results in two quick free throws for Dirk. He's a great free throw shooter. You give away points like that at the foul line, it's tough to win here.
We're joined by Mike Barrett. He is the TV voice of the Portland Trailblazers. You can find him through all the playoff games on KGW. You know, it's interesting, Mike, that you talk about pushing the pace, because the playoffs is really known for, you know, grind it out, half-court defensive basketball. But it looked like last night that both teams were trying to push the pace as much as they could to get those transition points. You know, I think for the Blazers, it makes a lot of sense, as you said, to try and get some of those easy baskets, because they've got guys like Batum and Wallace and Wesley Matthews who are so good in transition.
Yeah, and they can't push it like they did against the Lakers. You know, in that ball game, it was a little bit different, and the Blazers really pushed everything and got 20 fast break points and really took control of the game in the first half in doing that. You can't do that, but if you're an opportunist as far as when the fast break situations come, when you get the opportunity to run, that's when you got to do it. And I think they can against this team. Now, not probably against Dallas' second unit. That's a quicker unit with Terry and with Barea and those guys. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised in game two to see Portland use Patty Mills a little bit at least. He is such a change of pace point guard. And when you're going 2-for-16 from three, Patty's one of the more reliable three-point shooters Portland has, and he has, you know, he has the ability and the confidence to keep shooting. And if you're not going to get it from Wesley in a ball game where he gets the two quick fouls and comes out and completely changes the rotation, you got to look elsewhere. And I do think that we could see a little bit of Patty in game two for that reason alone. Tempo, change of pace, and a guy that can get outside shots.
Marcus Camby, I thought, was phenomenal last night. In 29 minutes, he has 18 rebounds. It looked like he tweaked his ankle a little bit. How's he doing today?
You know, we looked at him. I didn't see anything about that. And during the game, we certainly didn't hear any talk about the ankle. I've heard people talk about that since. He might have a little bit, but I don't think it was anything that was going to knock him out of the ball game. I don't think that had anything to do with why he didn't play late in the game. It's simply that smaller lineup they go to, that's what they've been doing. And in a situation where Brandon is, you know, 1-of-7 in a game, they're going to stay with that. That's worked for them. We could see them revisit that a little bit, and we could see Camby a little bit late, because Portland really didn't have any offensive rebounding after he went out, and Dallas had a couple of big offensive rebounds late. Rebounds that Camby would have most certainly cleaned up. And he was terrific. Plays his role so well, and he passed the ball well. He had 5 assists.
Mike Barrett is joining us, TV voice of the Blazers. All right, there's a few days off in between now and game two. What's the team doing? Obviously, they're practicing, they're shoot-arounds, but what are they doing during their downtime in between games?
Well, you know, they're not going to do a whole lot of hard practicing, obviously. I think most of this time is going to be spent watching film. And again, you say you don't want to overanalyze, but everybody's going to, and the team will do that as well. I don't think a whole lot has to change from a strategy standpoint. I think they had the game where they wanted it. They survived a bad second quarter offensively. They survived a situation where Wesley was taken out early and your rotation was broken as far as what you want to do, because as soon as Wesley went out, all of a sudden, then you've got to change everything. And LaMarcus has normally been coming out at about the one-minute mark, and Gerald Wallace comes in for him normally, and they've been backing that up a little bit earlier and earlier into the first so that LaMarcus can play with the second unit. Once that broke, it kind of changed everything in the game, and I think that had a lot to do with why the second quarter was so flat. But I don't know. You say you don't want to analyze, but they're going to do that the next couple of ball games, the next couple of days. Again, practices aren't going to be hard. It's not going to be a lot of on-the-court work. It's more going to be watching film, watching for better ways to attack, and And, you know, you say better ways to get open shots. I thought they got open shots. They just simply didn't hit them, especially from behind the arc last night.
Nate McMillan in his post-game press conference had some strong words about the officiating. I totally agree with him. But, you know, if I'm Nate, I come out at the beginning of the game and I have my guys taking it strong to the basket just to see if I'm going to get some calls and if that message that I sent to the officials resonated. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And it starts with LaMarcus. And I thought he was physical with Chandler. You know, Chandler was given the opportunity, I thought, because of the officiating, to really bump and really grab. And, you know, LaMarcus was effective in that low post. But if he takes it to the chest of Chandler, which that's how he's had success against him, and he did that some last night, that's where you can put that to the test. Now, at the other end, Dirk gets that in the post, and Dirk is very good at showing when he's getting touched, showing when he's getting pushed. And if it's going to be as one-sided as it was that we saw last night, and I think I'm pretty safe in saying that that was the case, the touch fouls late, that's what Nate talked about. What is a foul? You've got to be consistent with it, and it wasn't that way last night. There was also an out-of-bounds play late where it looked like on our replay the ball clearly hit Stojakovic's foot and went out of bounds. Nate asked the officials to review that, which we were inside 2 minutes. They could have. They said, no, we definitively saw it. There's no reason to look at it. That can't happen. If you ask for a replay in that situation, 98% of the time in the regular season, they are going to look at that and review it and grant you the request. The fact that that wasn't done either just compounded everything for Portland, and that would have been a one-point game at that time. So there were a lot of things like that late that, you know, I think gave Nate fuel to speak out. I'm glad he did. I mean, oftentimes I know fans are saying, you know, take a technical, make your voice heard. He was upset on the sidelines, and oftentimes if a coach is demonstrative in the way that he's reacting and he doesn't get a technical, that's usually a sign that the officials are maybe realizing they got one or two wrong, and in the case of last night, I think maybe more than one or two.
By the way, I think that's one of the dumbest rules in the NBA, that you leave it to the discretion of the officials. If it's inside of 2 minutes and you ask them to look at the replay, they should have to do it. They can't just say, well, no, we don't feel like doing it. That seems like the dumbest rule to me.
Yeah, I agree. And always, I mean, always in the regular season. In fact, we've talked about this a little bit, that we're usually close enough to Nate to where if we see something that looks like it's reviewable, we tell the Blazer coaches, they ask for a review, and they always get it. And last night, in a situation where, again, we saw on replay, and there were two Blazers there, it certainly looked like to us that it went off Stojakovic's foot out of bounds. That was a huge possession. That was at Dallas's end. Blazers would have gotten the ball back. It ended up being a three for Kidd right on the tail end of that. That was huge. And for them not even to grant them the stoppage and a chance to look at it inside of 2 minutes, I didn't get that at all. And that was, again, that was a huge play late in that game. So that's got to be revisited by the officials, and they've got to hear in that case that they should have granted Portland a review inside of the 2 minutes, which is routine, standard procedure. I don't know why it wasn't followed last night.
Mike Barrett joining us from Dallas. Thank you so much. I hope that you have some time to get out on the course with Rice. I'm sure it's much better weather in Dallas than it is here in Portland, and hopefully you're able to use that time wisely in Dallas. I'll look forward to your call on Tuesday night on KGW.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. That's Mike Barrett, the TV voice of the Portland Trailblazers, joining us from Dallas. Some great insight from him. You can always read Mike's blog. He has a terrific blog, trailblazers.com.